Ecce Virgo concipiet et pari et filium, et vocabitur nomen eius Emmanuel. Behold, the Virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear Father, very dear faithful, today we celebrate the Feast of the Annunciation, when the Archangel Gabriel visited Our Lady with the news that if she would accept, she could be the mother of our Savior. Today's Mass would normally fall on the 25th of March, but since that day was during Holy Week, the feast has been transferred to today. The epistle is the famous passage taken from the prophet Isaiah, in which the king of Judah, Achaz, was offered an occasion to ask for a sign from God. He refused, saying that he did not want to tempt God. While at first glance this may seem to be a humble reaction on his part, a deeper reading into the context of this passage will explain why God was displeased with the response of the king. This prophecy of Isaiah was given during a war between the kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Israel, both kingdoms being created because of a division between the 12 tribes of Israel. The tribes of Judah and Benjamin, remaining loyal to the dynasty established by King David, form the kingdom of Judah in the south. The remaining 10 tribes form the kingdom of Israel in the north. Achaz, the king of Judah, was overwhelmed in this war with the north and sought the assistance of the Assyrian Empire. The king of Israel was aligned with the one of Damascus. It was during this difficult war with the north that the prophet Isaiah was sent to Achaz to ask him to demand a sign of God. The king, being self-assured because of his alliance with the Assyrians, was therefore being hypocritical and proud in refusing to ask God for a sign, even as it was offered to him. Being a descendant of King David, he should have known to be dependent more on the power of God than on the alliances that he formed with another king. Therefore, he saddened God by his refusal. However, the prophet Isaiah delivered to him the sign of the future birth of the Messiah, born of a virgin. Ecce Virgo concipiet et pari et filium, et vocabitur nomen eius, Emmanuel. This prophecy of Isaiah about the coming of the Messiah is a fulfillment of the promise that God made to Eve when he applied the curse on the serpent in the Garden of Eden. In reading the passage in Latin, Greek, and Hebrew, we see that the Hebrew word Alma that was used is very precise in identifying that the virgin is a young woman of marriageable age, but not married as yet. Moreover, there is no mention here of a father who is a king in the line of David. This indicates clearly that this child will come directly from God, who would step in at that time in human history to take care of his people. Moving forward in time to that of the New Testament, we see that St. Luke makes it clear that the virgin mentioned in the prophecy of Isaiah is in fact the Virgin Mary. The passage chosen for today's Gospel is that of the Annunciation, and can be divided into three parts: the salutation of the archangel, the human origins of the Messiah, and lastly, his divine origins. For the Latin Virgo, St. Luke used the word Parthenos in Greek, which was also used in the Septuagint that was written 100 years previously. The Hebrew word Alma was translated in the same way. Moreover, St. Luke uses almost the same words as the prophet Isaiah when he recounts the angel Gabriel telling Mary, "You shall conceive in your womb and shall bring forth a son, and you shall name him Jesus." Since the Blessed Virgin would conceive by the power of the Holy Spirit, The name chosen for him, Jesus, or the Savior, was indicated by God himself through his angel. The birth of our Lord and his life among us was foretold by the prophet Zephaniah, a passage of which Our Lady was certainly aware. This is seen in the humility by which she asked the angel Gabriel how this was to come about, since she was espoused but did not know man. In the old Jewish tradition, the betrothal or espousal and the wedding did not have the same significance as they do today. At the betrothal itself, the man and woman promised to each other in marriage were already considered husband and wife, and a serious reason would have to be presented to separate them. The purpose of the wedding was simply to validate the marriage. The Blessed Virgin and Saint Joseph were already husband and wife under the old Mosaic law, but Our Lady could honestly say that she knew not man because the wedding had not yet taken place. Our Lady therefore remained a virgin in partum and postpartum, during birth and after giving birth to our Lord. There is sufficient evidence of this in the scriptures. For the purposes of the census, St. Joseph and the Virgin Mary found a stable near the city of Bethlehem. There they arrived when Our Lady was almost at the end of her pregnancy. After a voyage that surely must have been difficult, and in the extremely uncomfortable conditions found in the stable, she gave birth to our Lord without much other help. Given that the angel Gabriel greeted Our Lady with the words full of grace, we can be sure that Our Lady was holy and free from all stain of original and personal sin. She therefore never had to suffer the curse placed upon Eve regarding the pains of childbirth, as prophesied by Isaiah and Micah. She was thus a virgin in partum while giving birth. Our Lady was also a virgin postpartum after giving birth to our Lord. And this is confirmed by the passages referring to the brothers of our Lord in the Gospel of St. Mark. These passages use words common to several Oriental languages that refer to members of an extended family, but can only be translated by the word brothers in English. The Gospel of St. John confirms this explanation when it reports our Lord giving Our Lady and St. John to each other as mother and son at the crucifixion on Mount Calvary. Our Lord would not have done this if he had siblings. Another point for this argument is also found in the book of the Apocalypse. According to the context of the celestial liturgy recounted by St. John, the passage of the woman giving birth in great pain refers to Our Lady's presence at Calvary, where she participated in the suffering of our Lord and gave birth to the Church, that is, to us. Dear faithful, on this day we commemorate the beginning of the fulfillment of the promise that he made to us when he had to cast out Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. There are many today who sow seeds of doubt about the virgin birth, about the existence of our Lord on the earth, both as God and as man. As you can see, a careful study of scriptures dispels all doubt about today's feast. For many centuries, God allowed us to wallow in the consequences of the original sin of Adam and Eve, and also of the personal and collective sins of so many of their descendants, so that we would learn the full extent of our misery of all these sins. Therefore, the Feast of the Annunciation is a day of great joy. It is the day that we commemorate the incarnation of the second person of the Holy Trinity, because Our Lady said yes to the Archangel Gabriel. In 9 months, on December 25th, we will celebrate the birth of our Lord. Our Lady was the exact antithesis of Eve in her prudence, her loyalty to God, and her humility. Let us ask her to win for us an increase of faith, hope, and charity in our Lord. For he so loved the world that he sent us his only begotten Son, for us to have eternal life by faith in him. Let us never despair of the mercy of God. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.